So today's sermon is loving one another. And that's something that we want to be thinking about right now. And that a lot of things that we're concerned about, a lot of things that are on the top of our minds, but how can we be loving one another? How can we care about one another? And how can we live lives for one another during this time? And from talking with a lot of you and talking to other people, it seems like a lot of people have their up days and they have their down days. They have days that they feel hopeful. They have days that they feel like, I'm going to get through this, or this isn't that bad, or I see the light at the end of the tunnel. And so there's days like that, and there's days where you feel the opposite of that, where you think, I don't know how I got this far, and I don't know how I can continue in this way, or I don't know how I'm going to pay the bills at the end of the month, or I don't know what's going to happen with my job. I don't know what's going to happen with school or my kids. We have these questions. We have these up days, and we have these down days, and this is where we're at right now. Each one of us has concerns, we have fears, we have anxieties, we have question marks of what's going to happen, and how does this affect me, how does this affect my family. So with all those, in the midst of that, we have a lot of things we're concerned about for ourselves. And what I want to talk about today is how in the midst of that, we still think about how we can love other people in that. And that's a challenge for us, because we have our own things that we want to see for ourselves, and we can get too focused on what do I want for myself? What do I want for my family? But it's helpful just to take a step back. And what do we all need right now? And how can we benefit and we can love one another? As we all do that, then we all can move forward together and get our needs met in that way. So I want to start out with looking at a Bible story that helps us kind of think through some of the things that we're seeing now. This is a story from Matthew chapter 8. This is a story about Jesus and his disciples. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went up and woke him, saying, Lord, save us! We're going to drown. He replied, You of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. And there's two big things that I want to kind of take out of this story. The first one is the power that Jesus has. And we've read Bible verses, especially when we talk about COVID-19, about healing and Jesus healing people, and that happened. But a lot of times when we think about disease, we think about things that happen to one person, and that this person's sick, this so-and-so has this disease, and so we can pray for that person specifically. But with this COVID-19, this is more of a, what I think of a, in terms of like, this is an act of nature, in the same way that we would think of hurricanes or tornadoes or flooding that affects a whole bunch of people all at once. And so even in the midst of an act of nature, like a storm, Jesus has the power over that. And that's a great reminder for us that sometimes we think about things as individuals and we want to pray for individuals who are sick, and we do that. And we see plenty of stories of people being healed and Jesus healing people. But Jesus also has the power over nature. And so when we look at something that's global, we look at something that's a pandemic, we look at something that's affecting all of us, God is still in control. God still has the power over nature. That's a big thing to remember. And the other thing is, Jesus was calm in the midst of the storm. And right now, all of us, we're in the midst of a storm. And when we're in the midst of the storm, we want a leader like Jesus who's calm in that. In this story, Jesus, this boat's probably rocking back and forth. You got water splashing, rain coming down. In the midst of that, Jesus is sleeping. And his disciples are freaking out. And if you got to remember, some of these disciples were on boats their entire life. They were fishermen. They knew the sea. They knew boating. This was not a new thing for them, but they were afraid. That's how serious this was. And Jesus was sleeping, and he gets up. He says, Why are you so afraid? And with confidence and calmness, he just rebukes the winds of the wave and the waves, and they calm. That's a reminder for us that in the midst of our own storm of what's happening now with COVID-19, we have a God who's calm in the midst of that. We have a leader in the midst of that. And what we want to do is we want to be born like Jesus. And in the midst of this, we can be like the disciples who are afraid and say, what are we going to do? And then we can turn to Jesus. And Jesus is going to say, I got it. And then when we follow Jesus and we focus on Jesus, then we become and we get transformed within ourselves, and we can become that for other people. We can be a calm in the storm. That's a key thing for us, being a calm in the storm. So Jesus has the power over nature, and he is the calm in the storm. And that's what we want to see in our lives. And when we need something to calm us, we can look to Jesus. And then we want to be that for other people. We want to be the calm in the storm. We want the church in the midst of the storm of right now. We want the church to be the calm in the storm. So how do we do that? Let's look at our next Bible verse today, which is going to be from 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not have love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we have the confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with judgment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is a long passage, and it's all about love. And it's all about that when we look and want to understand love, we look to God. And if we want to understand who God is, we have to understand love, because they're together, because God is love. And so those go together. So if we want to understand who God is, we understand what love is. We understand what love is, we understand what God is. And then when we do that, when we love God, we understand God, that God abides with us. And he sends us his Spirit to be with us, to lead and guide us, and to help us love. And the other aspect is what we do and how that manifests with other people. That when we love God, the overflow of that is that we love other people. That we can't say, I love God and I'm going to serve him, but I can't stand other people. That doesn't work that way. That God's love transforms us. It's that we love God and we love other people. And we look at this opposite of fear and love. So perfect love casts out all fear. And so in the midst of being afraid, what casts that out is love. And that's a message for us right now. We have a world that is afraid, and what casts that out? Love. We want to be turning to God in that. When we are facing our own fears, we turn to God. We turn to loving God, and God loving us, and God abiding in us through his Holy Spirit. We turn to that to cast out our fear. In this, we're human. In this, we're going to fail. In this, we're going to make mistakes. In this, we're going to be fragile in the midst of this. And in our own fragility, we need to be turning to God for that. And I have a video to have us explore that a little bit more.
Life is fragile. It's a fact we're learning in real time, every day. What we once called normal has seemingly disappeared. There's uncertainty in the air, restlessness in our hearts. Things we once took for granted are becoming difficult to find. Our usual day-to-day has evolved into this odd chaos. Peace is becoming obsolete. Many have lost jobs, security, and those they love. The pain is undeniable. But what if our fragility caused us to lean harder into God? What if, in our weakness, we chose to rely more on His strength? Would our outlook change? Would the peace that passes understanding begin to drown out the noise of this moment? Would we walk in a quiet confidence, knowing our God is mighty to save? We're not promised tomorrow, but we are given a simple truth to stand on. Our God goes before us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Yes, life is fragile. But in our weakness, He is strong.
That was just a quick reminder for each one of us that, yeah, we're going through a tough time right now, and we may feel fragile and vulnerable in that. We feel like we're losing out on control over our lives. And we can think about those things, and that can cause us fear and anxiety or pain or hurt. But in the midst of that, let's turn to God in that. Let's turn to God in that to be our foundation. And when we do that, we want to be focusing on love. So right now, in the midst of a pandemic, how can we love one another? What are the real things we've been doing right now when we think about loving one another? And the first one is what we focused on last week, which was when we talked about living in truth. The first one was focus on God. And that's true today, too, that we want to focus on love, but we need to focus on God because God is love. And so that's the message for us, that our first step is always, how can I focus on God? When you find yourself being overwhelmed, focus on God. Maybe that's a scripture that you can read or a prayer that you can pray. Maybe it's attending one of our Zoom calls, or it's just quiet meditation, but finding ways to say, I'm not feeling right now about this or that, and you turn to God. Allow your focus to be on God, and that changes your perspective. That changes your perspective on what's happening right in front of you. And you turn and say, God is in control, and you focus on Him, that changes how you see the rest of the world. That's number one. To love other people right now, spend your time focusing on God. The second is this. You have to understand that everyone is going through a tough time right now. Everyone is going through something right now. And that's a good way to view the world at any time, but especially right now. Everyone is going through something. And maybe at different levels, different degrees, they may have good days and bad days just like you, but everyone is going through something right now. Now, when you think about how you treat other people, you'd probably treat someone very differently if you found out that they just lost their job, or they just lost their loved one, or they were going through something very difficult in their lives. You would look at that person and say, well, I want to treat this person really well. I want to be patient. I want to be compassionate. Well, that's how we should be treating people all the time, because we don't always know. We don't always know what they have just gone through. We don't know what's happening inside them at that moment. So we need to have love and compassion for people at all times. But right now we know. We know without a shadow of a doubt that most people are going through something very significant right now. You know that for yourself, that maybe you're not feeling yourself. Maybe it's you don't have as much energy, or you feel like you're just a little less patient, or you feel a little less in control. You know that about yourself. Understand other people are feeling the exact same way. And so in all your interactions with other people, keep that in mind. They're going through something too. And so have that be a perspective for you that gives a little more patience, a little more compassion, a little more love in those moments, no matter where that is, whether that's in, you know, trying to work your way through a grocery store and trying to, you know, stay 6 feet away from people, or it's, you know, through work and maybe it's another Zoom call, or maybe you're feeling overwhelmed with trying to do work and kid, trying to have your kids in school and everything else, and people have these high expectations for you and maybe not treating you right, and all those things. Try and have that just a little more of compassion, a little more patience. And we get that from the Lord. That's how we, number one, you focus on the Lord, and hopefully in those moments, you understand that people are going through things too, and we'd have love and compassion. And part of that love and compassion is understanding how it works and how that looks for other people. Part of that is when we make decisions, we gotta be thinking about how that impacts other people. And one of the things that's been happening now is we've been talking a lot about rights and what is my right to do that? And is the government trying to infringe upon that right? And while rights is certainly very important for us, and as Americans, we hold those really dear. And rights are something that we should definitely be focused on and fight for. But just because we have the right to do it doesn't mean we need to, or doesn't mean we should do it. And we have to understand that while as important as our rights are to us, love should be more important. That we have, what we have for our government, what we have for our national laws and what our rights are as Americans, those are really important. But we also live in the kingdom of God that we want to see advancing. We want to see a church that is expanding, and we want to see love as a driver of that. And so as you make decisions, understand that, yes, we have rights, and yes, hold on to that. But we have a different law that's even above that. That's the law of God. We don't be thinking about the law of loving your neighbor as yourself. And so keep that in mind. That I don't want you to lose sight of that, that we can kind of reprioritize things over how that affects us. Take just a moment and say, what does that mean for me? And what does that mean for the church? What does that mean for people around me? And so we can focus on our rights and we can understand our rights, but just because you have the right to do it doesn't mean you should. And allow the Holy Spirit and God and love to be kind of leading you in that. Another thing that you're going to see happen, and this is because all of us, we're starting to get upset about things. And maybe there's those little things that you wish, hey, I wish I could still do this, but I can't. Maybe that's, you know, sitting down in a restaurant or sitting down in a coffee shop or talking to a loved one in person or, you know, going into your office. Maybe you're kind of, you know, sick of working at home and like, man, I wish I could just really go to my office. Or all these little tiny things, maybe just that drive. I've heard of people like, I just missed that drive back from my office to decompress. I don't have that anymore. There's these little things we kind of miss out on. And when we do that, we get upset. And when we get upset, we want to blame somebody. And so you're starting to see that too, that people want to play a blame game. And I want to caution you against that. And one of the worst forms of that we've seen, maybe you've seen this in the news, is racism. That people want to blame people of Asian descent for this virus. They want to focus on Chinese people, or I've even seen it that there's people, they're American citizens and live in the USA that just happen to be of Asian descent, and people have been bullying them or threatening them or beating them up. And it's even, I've seen that with kids in school too, before the schools were shut down, that was happening to kids. And so racism is never the response, and it should never be the response to things like this. And so be careful not to play the blame game, and especially not racism. And for us, I'm not assuming that many of you are doing that or saying that, but we need to be lights. And so the difficult thing that we need to do is when we hear people say that stuff, we got to stop them. We got to say, hey, that's not right. Or don't say things like that. That we live in a world that has a whole bunch of different races and ethnicities. And in the kingdom of God, there's a whole bunch of races and ethnicities. And so when people talk about people of different races, they're talking about our brothers and sisters. And when we get to heaven, you're going to see all different types of people there, all the different, you know, colors of skin, all the different races and ethnicities and language. All of them are going to be praising God together. And so don't allow racism to be a response for you or for those of you around. Don't allow that to be the response. The other thing that we're going to see, and we're starting to see this now, is that the battle lines are drawn in terms of how are we opening up the country again. And you're starting to see that. And you're going to see that those are going to become more entrenched. And that's going to be based on political parties and different things. And there's going to be blame going back and forth. And this political figure says this, and this political figure says this. And they're kind of fighting, and we're going to be choosing sides. Don't allow the church to be divided by that. Don't allow the church to be divided by that. That on each side, the people want the same thing, all right? Everyone wants the country to be open again, and everyone wants people to be safe. And that's the end goal for everybody. But different people are going to have different ideas of how to get there. And they're going to put different priorities on different things. Different people are going to have different tolerances of risk. And that's something that we all go through every day. We all understand that every time I leave my house or drive my car, something could happen. And we understand some risks are worth it. And so people are going to end up on different elements of that, that they're willing to take on more risk or less risk. But don't demonize, don't blame the other side, don't blame your circumstances because a governor said this or a president said this or some official said that. And don't allow that to break up the church. Don't allow that to divide us, that we're fighting amongst ourselves because of decisions that are happening in politics. That we are above that. Again, it's a different whole world that we're living in, that we live in the kingdom of God. Be focused on that. And don't allow those things to divide us. That those are policy, those are ideas of that are important. And obviously we want to make sure that officials and all of us are making the right decisions and the right calls, but don't allow that to divide us. We all want the same thing here. And so let's work together to get towards that. The other thing is that we need to use this as an opportunity to bring the gospel. Use this as an opportunity to bring the gospel to people. One of my big fears is that when history looks back at COVID-19 and looks at what the church's role in that, my big fear is that the church is going to be known as they just wanted to go back into their buildings. And they were protesting about that, or they were just focused on themselves and getting back into their building. And they did so, which harmed other people. That's my fear. That's how it's going to be written. Whether or not that's 100% accurate or true, that might be how history writes it. I don't want that to be the case. What I want to be the case is that when people look back, they go, man, how did we get through COVID-19? We got through it because of the church. That the church provided love and compassion. They provided physical and tangible things, that they were there to provide supplies to people. They were there when people were quarantined. They brought them food. They brought them toilet paper. They made sure they had everything, that people who were shut in got phone calls and got letters and texts and had people reaching out to them, making sure they were okay, that the church was there, and that the church had this powerful impact to keep things going, to keep people hopeful, to keep people loving one another. That's what I want the message of the church to be. That's what I want the church to be remembered for. That's what I want us to do right now, is that we can be the hope. We can be the hope. So be thinking about that. Be thinking about that, that we want to be in using this time, and the best way we can love other people is to make sure they know Jesus. And so by doing all of those things, we introduce people to the love of God. That right now, we have a whole world that was like the disciples in that boat with Jesus. And the world is freaking out, and they're saying, we're all gonna drown, we're all gonna die, this is the worst thing ever, how am I gonna get through this? We have a world that's like that, and that world needs a Jesus who can stand up and say, it's okay, I got this. There's a whole world that doesn't know him. Let that be our purpose. Allow that to be the church. The church is really the believers of God. If we talk about opening up churches and things like that, church is never closed. Maybe we're doing something a little different. Now we're doing things on Zoom. Maybe we're not in a church building, but the church hasn't closed. We're still open for business. We're still doing our work. And so don't allow, just having a building or meeting together distract us from our real purpose, which is being there for one another and bringing the gospel to those who need it. That's our purpose. That's our calling. And we can do that even if we're on Zoom calls. We can do that even if we're social distancing. We can do that even in a quarantine. We can be doing that. That's the purpose of the church. And we can be doing that regardless of what's happening in our physical building. We are the church and we can do that. People talk about that the world is going to be much different and the new normal that's going to happen after COVID-19, that we're not going to go back to the way it was before. There's going to be some changes that are going to be happening there. And I think that's true for different businesses. It may be true for your life, and it may be true with how things work in terms of, you know, health policies and things like that. But what I want to see happen is that the big change after COVID-19 is that so many people were introduced to the love of God, that so many people, their lives were transformed. And the new normal now is that more and more people know who Jesus is. The new normal is that our country and our world was transformed because in the midst of this, people turn to Jesus. That's our goal. That's what I want this, you know, this is an opportunity for us. So yes, everything that's happening right now is a tragedy and it's terrible. And we can choose to kind of wallow in that, or we can choose to say, how can I work with Jesus to make some changes here? How can we do that together? And that's what we're called to do. And all that is living out love and loving one another. But let me pray for us. Lord, I ask that you would just call out the church to be people of love, people who know you and know you as love, and that we can not allow kind of the bickering back and forth, not the political fights, not the infighting, not the different policy procedures or different things our government could do or what we want. Don't allow any of that to divide us and allow us to be 100% focused on how we can love you and love other people. Lord, I want to see this point right now to be a turning point where there's revival and you are calling people to yourself in the midst of this, because you are the calm in the storm. You are the one who calls people to yourself who are afraid, and your love casts out their fear. Lord, allow that to happen and allow Trinity being here to be a part of that. Allow us to be a light. Allow us to be a light in our community. Allow us to be a light to those we know. Allow us to, in the midst of this, where we have our own fears and our own fragility, but we turn to you and we're built up by you, and we allow other people to know your hope and your love. Lord, equip us with your Holy Spirit. So in our dark moments and our bad days, we have you to get us through. And give us opportunities again and again to spread your love, whether that's through physical service, whether that's through helping people out in just a tangible way, or it's explaining the love of God. Allow us to do that. And Lord, let your kingdom come and may your will be done. Amen.